السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا، إنك لن تخرق الأرض ولن تبلغ الجبال طولا. وقال تعالى: إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من تواضع لله رفعه الله، ومن تكبر وضعه الله. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Hello my kiram, most respected elders and brothers. In these verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us, and we know that the Quran Sharif is the manual and the book of guidance and hidayat till the day of Qiyamah. The laws and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain as appropriate as they were 1400 years ago. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran Sharif, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that I have perfected your religion, I have perfected your deen. This deen of Islam, this religion of Islam has been perfected by none but Allah Himself. In this world we find a person, depending on the degree of perfection in him, in his personality, you will find that the work that he produces, whether it's in the form of writing, whether it's in the form of manufacturing, anything that is associated with that person, you will see the effect of his meticulousness in that work that he is producing. The more thorough he is as a person, the more thorough his work will be. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a perfect being. We say subhanallah. Allah is free from any defect. Allah is free from any blemish. Allah is free from any fault. There is no fault in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that being who is faultless, he is saying that I have perfected your religion. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, if we and if I am finding a fault in any aspect and teaching of deen, so I should attribute that fault to myself, not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my example, or the example of that person who finds a fault in deen, is like the example of a person who walks into a room that is painted white. Brilliant white. It's just been painted with a new coat of paint. But what this person does is he wears glasses that is red in color. Now when he walks in the room, he will turn around and say to the person, brother, didn't we agree that you're going to paint this room white? So he says, yes, we agreed. He says, but I am seeing red here. The walls are red. It's spoiling the whole room. Everything is looking red. He says, no brother, we brought white paint. I'll show you the paint. Here's it. It's a white paint that we use. He says, no, I'm seeing red. It's not white. Until eventually they realize that it's not the paint. It's the glasses that he's wearing. There's a fault in his eye. There's a fault on his glasses. And as a result, he's seeing everything red. But it's not red, it's white. Those individuals who find a fault with any aspect of deen, well, you know, today, in today's time, this is not very applicable. It doesn't go with our society. It won't fit in our... So we should rather, respected elders and brothers, attribute it to my own weakness. Listen, it is my weakness that I am unable to make amal on this particular teaching of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But inshallah, make dua. One day I can get that himmat and that courage to practice on deen properly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this Quran Sharif, and it is as relevant as it was 1400 years ago. Today, it is just as relevant. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that eye in which we can see the beauty of the teachings of deen and shariat. That's why one alim mentioned, ke har sunnat ke andar, har sunnat jo hai, ashal, akmal aur ajmal hai. That every single sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has got three qualities. First of all, it's ashal. It's absolutely easy and practical. It's ajmal, it is beautiful. And it is akmal, it is perfection in it. Every single sunnah of Rasulullah says, we should never justify our weakness if we're not practicing. We are all weak, we've got our weaknesses. Today, very often what happens is when we sit in the bayan and the alim says something, so our mind goes to that person. Well, I hope that person is there in the bayan, he needs to hear this bayan. This is our general condition and this is a trick of shaitan. Shaitan wants us to forget ourselves. That is why we should remember that when we're pointing a finger at the next person, there's quite a few more fingers for pointing at ourselves. One alim mentioned that people are concerned about the fly that's sitting on the noses of others, but they forget the python that's wrapped around their own neck. So whenever we are sitting in any bayan, let's focus it to our own selves. Let us not focus it onto the next person. Sometimes certain people's weaknesses are apparent, and our weaknesses are hidden. It's hidden. No one knows about it. But it's there. It is there. It's just that people do not know about it. And that person's weakness is exposed. Perhaps he's not dressed exactly like how we are dressed. But then he has got certain qualities. So each person has got some weaknesses. We all have to make an effort on progressing and improving and enhancing ourselves. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to improve ourselves. So we were mentioning that every single sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ashal, akmal, ajmal. Look at the sunnah of nikah. If a person, Allah give our people the ability to make nikah in the proper manner, it will become so easy for our society. Look at those cultures and religions and customs in which they've made marriage difficult. The person has to buy so many, spend so much of money for the marriage. He has to pay, the dowry is excessive. As a result, we find in those communities, when marriage becomes difficult, then people delay the marriage. And when they delay the marriage, sometimes they do not even get married. And then they are in some kind of a relationship, a haram, illicit relationship. Children are then born sometimes out of wedlock. Sometimes the children do not even know who their parents are. Their child is born without a fatherly figure. Their child grows up with certain psychological problems. He hasn't been brought up in a stable home. Moralachu is running a maktab. We are also involved in the madrasa. We know what is the condition of those children who do not have a father in the home. How those children grow up. There's something missing in them. And you find another child who grows up in a stable home. You find the child grows up, the child is confident, the child is focused. The child becomes a productive human being later on in life. So when you remove that fatherly figure from the equation, it becomes so difficult. These children are brought up. Sometimes they do not even know who their fathers are. And then you find that they grow up with certain weaknesses. Sometimes they resort to violence. Sometimes they resort to crime. And this is the situation and the scenario we see all around us. When marriage becomes difficult, then this is the situation that happens. Illegitimate children are born. And when that happens, we find it so much of problems in society. So Islam makes an effort. And this is why Nabi Kareem Sassam encouraged. He said that make your nikah as simple as possible. He said, "Inna a'zama an-nikahi baraka, aysaruhu ma'una." The nikah which will have the most amount of blessings will be that nikah in which the least expenditure is incurred. In other words, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was encouraging that we make and we compete in making our nikahs as cheap as possible. Today it will be very hard to do it in our communities. But let us go back to the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and let us just understand it in context. Today, if you do not invite a person for the nikah, they feel very offended. They are extremely offended. A sahabi performs the nikah, he gets married. He presents himself before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In those days when the men would get married, they would use an itar, a kind of perfume that had a color on it. It was very exquisite and expensive. So they would use it. It was akin to that kind of a situation. So this particular sahabi presented himself before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately saw the perfume on him and he asked the question, "Tell me, did you get married?" He said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah, I got married." Now Allahumma, but imagine if it was us. And if it was our student or if it was our, we said, but you couldn't even invite us for the nikah. All these years I did so much for you and you couldn't even remember me for my nikah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on that occasion was not offended in the least, but in fact Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately made dua for him. Barakallahu lak wa baraka alayk wa jama'a baynakuma fi khairin. May Allah grant you barakah, etc., etc. The dua Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was not offended. From this we understand how simple an issue nikah was. There were two sahaba ikram, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu was interested in a certain girl who happened to be the family and relative of Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. So he went to Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. We know Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu was a senior sahabi, very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he said, listen, I would like to put a proposal for your relative. Could you speak on my behalf? He said, by all means. So they went. And as they went, this particular family lived in a very simple home, so they could both not go at the same time, or for some reason, as Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, listen, let me go first, I will speak to them about you, then we'll call you in and let's see what. So he went in the home. Immediately as he entered, the family relatives were very excited. The family member had been here, they welcomed him. He says, you know, I have come to speak to you. Have you heard of Salman Farsi? He said, of course, but you know, he's such a great sahabi, etc., etc., etc. He went on and on, praising Hazrat Salman Farsi, his qualities. And then he said, finally, he is interested in your daughter. He would like to have your daughter's hand in marriage. So the family says, listen, but we have a lot of respect for him. However, we would like to you to get married to our daughter. Now he was in a situation. Allahu Akbar. Gave it a thought. He said, okay, he agreed. There and then in the house the nikah was performed. Now, big problem. Come out of the house. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu is waiting outside. Waiting on edge. Anticipating. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu puts his head down. He says, I feel extremely ashamed and embarrassed. He said, listen, this is what has happened. Allahu, look at the clean hearts of the Sahaba ikram. Allahu, for sometimes we look down upon Sahaba, we find fault in Sahaba ikram. But the reality is, respected elders and brothers, we are not even equivalent to the dust that settles on the shoes of the Sahaba. Their hearts were so clean. He says, I feel ashamed of what has happened. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu responded, he said, I should be ashamed. That girl who was written for you, I could have proposed it for her. Look at the purity of their hearts. But from this we understand how simple an issue nikah was in the time and the era of the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Walima was such a simple thing. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he got married to Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, he merely laid out in the dastarkhan and put down some kajur and he said, this is the walima. This is the walima. Some kajur on the dastarkhan. Today we have to have this hall and the stage and the background and the theme, and we have to hire the video camera and the photographer, and sometimes these people keep the DVDs. Now that lady, she was not in Parda at the time. 4 or 5 years down the line, she decided to go into Parda. But now that DVD is out, every 1 year or every 2 years, they sit down and put the DVD and everyone sits back and looks. The person says, you know, who is that lady? That's the same, she's in Parda now. See her now. See her. Allah, where's the shame and haya gone? Respected Allah Ta'ala, give us all the hidayat and understanding. So respected Alison, when we move away from the way of Rabbi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we face nothing but disaster in our lives. And when we come close to the deen of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the closer we come, the more rahmat and barakat will come into our lives and into our business. One person spoke to me 2 days ago. He says, Maulana, there's a certain business transaction that I would like to engage in. And it's very lucrative. There's a lot of earning and a lot of profits I can make. But the thing is that I have to put forward the tender and so on. And the person who goes through all these things, so he can basically, if I give him something, if I pay him a little, he will, you know, promote mines and make sure that mines goes through. So in other words, if I pay him a bribe. So I said, what does your heart tell you? He said, man, I'm feeling a bit guilty about it. Feeling a little bit guilty about it. I said, remember, we're going to do things this way. Bribery in Islam, to pay a bribe, to give a bribe, to take a bribe, it is completely haram in Islam. And what is the reason for this? The hikmah behind it is when bribery becomes prevalent in the community, it leads to oppression. It leads to oppression. Because sometimes the person needs to get something, and until he doesn't pay that amount of money, his work cannot be done, and as a result he is faced with oppression and zulm. Every person is not in a position to pay in order to get his work done. We find many of these people, they want to get their documents done, they don't have the money. So until you don't give the money, pack your bags and out. It's a kind of a zulm and oppression. It opens the door to oppression. That is why Sharia has forbidden it. Yes, if it is a situation where the person is now, he knows that these people are going to oppress him if he doesn't give a bribe, then in that circumstance, speak to the muftis. If he gives something and makes tawbah and istighfar. But here we're talking about the person, he's got a business, it's running well, he just wants more money. So I said, remember, you'll pay that bribe today. But remember, just as the money comes in, Allah will make it go out. Allah Ta'ala will make it go out in such a way you won't even understand. There will be this accident, medical expense, somebody will sue you this side, some problem will arise here. At the end of the month, instead of having a positive figure, you're ending up with negatives, taking loans from here and taking overdraft from the bank. Why there is no barakah? And on the other hand, when the person says, listen, I'm a Muslim, I will not take these kind of things, I will not pay bribes, then yes, the money won't come in, but in the little that remains, Allah will give so much of barakah that at the end of the month the person will say, alhamdulillah, all the expenses were paid, plus we still have surplus. One alim, may have heard his name, Awlaidah Mohanis Patel Sahib, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, coming back from the airport, he had landed in Johannesburg. He was overweight because the various airlines had, there was a difference in terms of the weight, baggage allowance. So as a result, the person who was at the counter, he said, listen, you are overweight and I'm going to have to charge you for being overweight. And then quietly he came forward, he said, but give me something, push the bags. Give me something, and else you pay a bribe. So Ma Rahmatullah Ali was there, somebody was handling it, came forward, said, Ma, you know what, you can push it, we just give him something and push it. And Ma Rahmatullah Ali says, go and tell him, we are Muslims, we do not pay bribes. It's fine, we've got some brothers that are here from Johannesburg, we'll keep the excess baggage behind, and inshallah it will be sent some other time. Allahu Akbar, when a person does things correctly, hidayat spread. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali went and sat down, drank some water. This person started watching. Something different. Usually people will pay bribes. There's something different about this person. He was impressed. He said, who is this person? Gave him some information. He said, why is he sitting and drinking? Everyone will stand and drink. Why is he sitting? He said, no, you see, we're Muslims, so we are told by our Prophet that we must sit and drink, etc. He said, okay. After a little while, he put his computer on pause. He walked out from there. He came and sat down next to Maulana. He says, Maulana, sir, could you please tell me about Islam? For 20 minutes, Maulana Rahmatullah Ali explained to him about Islam. There and then he says, I want to become a Muslim, and he recited Shahadat and acceptance. This is it, respected elders and brothers. When we will practice on the deen of Islam, when we will fulfill the commands of Allah, there will be some pain that we will have to take on our hearts. But Allah Ta'ala will cause hidayat to spread. It will impress and inspire people. People will say, this person, this Muslim is not like other Muslims. He is honest. I can trust him. I can rely on him. When this Muslim works and he is an employee of mine, he is honest. He uses the facilities of the workplace in an honest manner. I can trust him. This is what impresses people. It is not our namaz in the masjid. Because you must remember, people, and especially non-Muslims, they are not here next to us. But yes, they are interacting with us in our workplaces. How we conduct ourselves, what kind of akhlaq we portray, what kind of consideration we show to the next person, these are very important aspects. There was one particular instance where a woman had travelled kilometres and kilometres. She was a non-Muslim woman. She came to this Muslim company and she was not dressed appropriately. Now this is when a person does not have jahalat, does not have knowledge. So those people phoned the head office and said, listen, why did you send a lady? She's dressed inappropriately. We are not going to see her. So the woman, she traveled 3 hours. She went back in a vehicle and she went back. After that, she had another appointment with another Muslim person. So that Muslim person said, okay, listen, I would like you to sit in this position here. And if you don't mind, I will not be facing you. And he had some other people. Because I am a Muslim, and therefore as a Muslim, I am told to lower my gaze. So we will have this meeting, but you will sit on this side here. So after that, she really appreciated this. She said, I thank you for giving me an explanation. Because after the previous incident, I always had a hatred for Muslims. I felt that they were extremely inconsiderate individuals. So respected elders and brothers, sometimes we need to understand consideration for the next person. Practice on deen, but at the same time show love, show kindness for the next person. We can still practice on deen in today's time. But it's just that when you want to make amal on deen, Allah Ta'ala will inspire the person. So the person can still lower his gaze. Because today people say, but Mura, how are we going to interact with ladies? You know, sometimes we have to interact, we have to shake their hands. We can still do it in such a manner that we do not shake their hands and give them a beautiful explanation. Please do not feel offended. I have nothing against you. But you know, I am a Muslim and therefore my Islam wants to protect our chastity. And just like how I have to protect myself and keep myself for my wife, and my wife has to keep herself for me, therefore I am told not to touch the hand of any other woman. It's nothing against you. The woman will appreciate that kind of communication. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the realization to understand that our deen is perfect. And our deen, as we had mentioned in the introduction, is as relevant as it was for 1400 years. Just as relevant as it was then, it is relevant now, respected elders and brothers. Allah grant us the tawfiq to understand that our deen of Islam is a complete, perfect way of life. Our religion is not like the religion of others, that is confined to the church or confined to the synagogue. It is a complete way of life. It basically traverses through all facets and aspects of our life, as far as the manner in which we deal with our wives, our children, our staff. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to become true good Muslims and flag bearers of the deen of Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. وأكمل لنا ديننا وتم علينا نعمته ورضي لنا الإسلام دينا فلا نعبد ولا نستعين إلا إياه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه وتمنى على الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام فيا معشر الإخوان اتقوا الله تعالى في السر والعلن وذروا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن واعلموا أن الدنيا خلقت لكم وأنتم خلقتم للآخرة وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان ولا تقنطوا من رحمة الله فإنه أرحم الراحمين بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنها والحسن والحسين سيدا شبابها للجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله اللهم اغفر للعباس وولدي مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن كل الصحابة أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي من أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير الناس قبلي ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان
وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد وإنه لحب الخير لشديد أفلا يعلم إذا بعثر ما في القبور وحصل ما في الصدور إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية.